Some sort of cardboard, commented Cassiel. Clearly a temporary structure. A needle reached down to pry it open. Let's see what's in there. All three of them leant in to see what the box contained. The top came off and then, as if spring-loaded, flies leapt out of it and punched into the nanogel dome. Fuck! Spat Leela. The caretaker flinched back. Cassiel's back arched, her arms taut. Gods! She gasped. Intrusion attack! Jagged shards of light flashed within her. Are you all right? Asked Leela. What can we do? Cassiel said nothing. Her head was tipped up. Her body shivered. Tiny wings blurred, pushing the flies further into the nanogel dome. A couple were nearly through it. Leela looked to the caretaker. You've zapped them before. Can you do it again? No need, gasped Cassiel. Under control. Really? Asked Leela. A bubble formed on top of the globe, becoming a soft, round bump, topped by a thin mesh. There was a soft hissing.
Hey, said the caretaker, waving his hand above it. You're pumping the air out.
Creating a vacuum, stuttered Cassiel. A couple of seconds passed, then, one by one, the flies dropped to the ground. They lay on their backs and sides, legs and wings twitching uncontrollably. A minute or so, and all were still.
Problem solved, drawled the caretaker. Good job.
No danger, eh? Asked Leela.
Nothing I couldn't handle, replied Cassiel casually. That must have been how they took Dieter. Did he have anything like the globe?
Leela shook her head. The mind was silent for a moment, analyzing.
They'd have hit him hard, with a very simple, very powerful command. Lay the box on his chest. Let it dig into him. Impossible to resist.
It didn't take long to disassemble the rest of the cube.
It's like a little fly city, said the caretaker, amazed.
More of a factory, replied Cassiel. And a very destructive one. Causes considerable decay in any nanogel it's exposed to. Greatly shortens the life expectancy of any minds that carry one.
What about humans? Asked Leela.
A combination. It attacks randomly selected body parts and dissolves them. But it will also considerably extend its host's lifespan.
Weird, commented the caretaker.
The box's base was divided into three. A quarter of the base held eggs, little white flecks about the size of a grain of rice.
They become maggots. And the maggots feed and then cocoon.
Half the base was an incubation chamber.
The cocoons sit in it, explained Cassiel. And there's a tiny surgeon here that modifies the maggots as they become flies, installs the hardware that lets them merge with the swarm. And then they hatch, and they're out in the world, half insect, half tech.
She dissected one of the dead flies.
Look at that. Wireless rig, solid-state memory, and a tiny processor. Every single one's a little computer. And when they swarm...
Half an hour passed and she was done.
The flies are all inert now, said Cassiel.
The dome split in two as she lifted her arms up and off the table, its two halves quickly reforming into hands.
And I can take the important bits into me.
She squashed a finger down into one of the flies.
What are you doing? Gasped Leela. You'll fall too.
No.
Cassiel flicked a finger and a broken insect body flew away from it.
I've just taken the comms hardware. I've got full control over it.
I can use it to talk with any local swarms, issue queries, perhaps even basic commands.
She pushed herself to her feet. She was moving more easily than she had done the previous night, but it was clear that she was still badly damaged.
The caretaker went to her side, ready to support her as she took a few uncertain steps across the room.
"Don't push it," he said. "You've got to move at healing speed, and you've just been working very hard. You need to lie down for a bit."
That was mental effort, Cassiel told him.
"Still takes it out of you," he replied.
"No." Cassiel sounded tense. "Enough healing. Now I understand the flies. I've got to get out there. Track down the pressure men. Stop Diodatus."
"Well, you get full marks for determination," Leela told her. "But you can barely walk. And you might be able to talk to the flies, but East knows about whatever you did to her cameras, and has every spare insect operative looking for you and the caretaker. She'll nab you before you get 50 meters. If Diodatus's sharks don't get you first."
"How do you know this?" asked Cassiel.
"I saw the shark myself. The Fetch Counselor told me the rest. The Rose went to see him. She's furious with you two."
The caretaker beamed.
"Right on.
I have tools. Weapons. I can look after myself."
Cassiel's voice had a broken quality to it.
"I need to hit back. I have a responsibility. You're not going to stand in my way."
"Stand in your way?" Leela raised an eyebrow. "Without me, you'd be stuck under the swarm."
The caretaker coughed significantly and raised an eyebrow.
"And the caretaker helped us both, of course. Look, if you go out now, you won't get anywhere. Please, stay here, rest up properly. Then we can all move against them. You can help me rescue Dieter, and I'll do what I can for you."
Cassiel's response was surprisingly sharp.
"Your brother may be important to you, but I have a whole society to save."
She paused for a moment.
"I'm sorry, but Diodatus is a cancer. His influence has gone deep. It might have gone wide, too. Fallen minds are impossible for even me to spot. I have to assume that they're spreading through the totality with great speed. I need to move against them just as quickly."
"Now wait a moment," said the caretaker. "First of all, you're both totally free to do whatever you want. Having said that, Cassiel, Leela's right. Leaving here is just plain dumb. Physically, you're broken. I don't care how ninja you are when you're 100%. You're no use to anyone just now. And if Leela's right..."
"I'm totally right."
"It'll be half an hour tops before you fall into the hands of people who'll really fuck you up. At best, they'll kill you. At worst, they'll turn you and you'll be working for them. So you can leave if you want, but I think you're smarter than that."
"Yes, exactly," agreed Leela.
"And Leela," continued the caretaker, "Cassiel's right too. Your brother's important, but this is much bigger than him. East is infected. And it's beginning to sound like other gods might be too. Diodatus has spread into the totality. My guess is he'll be in the Fetch Communion soon, too."
Cassiel nodded.
"He's only holding back because it's neither a threat nor a resource for him. But he'll move against it sooner or later."
"Of course, you've got to look out for the people you love," continued the caretaker. "But if the whole of the rest of the world is in danger, you might have to start thinking a bit bigger than that."
"The rest of the world never did much for me," grumbled Leela.
But an image of Mrs. Meeker thrust itself into her mind, refusing to help because she only cared about her husband.
"He's right, Leela," said Cassiel. "The totality helped free the fetches.
And the gods look after the society you're part of. You're not an island. None of us is. Society is the platform the individual runs on. If your society goes down, you and your brother will too. He matters. But there's more to this than just him.
I owe Dieter so much, Leela replied. And he's all I've got in this world. He has to be my focus.
Well, as long as he's not the only thing you focus on, replied Cassiel.
And you're right, too. I can't do anything like this.
She clenched her fists, her arms shaking.
Damn it! I never thought it'd be flies that broke me.
She sounded furious with herself.
I never thought I'd be so useless.
Flies with fallen minds behind them, Leela told her. It's pretty tough standing up to your own people. They know all your tricks.
And you can repair yourself.
How long's it going to take?
A couple of days, replied Cassiel sadly. I'm very resilient, but that's not really the point. I am totality. We fought the Pantheon. We defeated them. To create a fairer future for us all.
The soft lightning of deep emotion shimmered through her body.
But now we've been corrupted. And the corruption runs deep. I can't contact my colleagues, my superiors, because they might infect me. I am alone, she sighed. And the scale of it.
Her voice tailed off.
Hey, said the caretaker gently. You always have to fall before you can learn to fly. And you've got the two of us.
Cassiel looked first at the caretaker, then at Leela.
An amnesiac hippie, and a ghost who only cares about her brother.
Light danced inside her.
Though I do have to admit that between the two of you, you've saved my life and taken us several steps closer to Diodatus.
Yeah, we've done that all right, smiled Leela. And that's just for starters. Now it's your turn to do some detective work.
Cassiel, can you get on Weave anonymously?
Child's play, sniffed Cassiel.
Good. You're going to find out more about two new Diodatus victims.
What about you? Asked Cassiel.
I'm going to go and see Dit. I think I need a whole new me.
Chapter 22
Leela set off through the early afternoon streets of Docklands, heading for Dit. She could have jumped, but she wanted a little time to lose herself in the bustling crowds, gather her resources and prepare for whatever was coming next. She let memories of the last few days surge through her, then comforted herself with the thought that she'd started to find a clear, constructive path through all the chaos. She'd protect herself from Diodatus. She'd find Dieter, and she would bring him back. It could be that she'd even end up making the wider world a little safer, too. She smiled to herself. She'd never seen herself as that sort of crusader. Cassiel would be pleased, she thought. But it was difficult to truly relax. The wider world wasn't safe yet. Every time she saw an insect operative, she was reminded of how the rose had fallen. There were more than usual of them on the streets, their dark plastic impact armor curved round their soft flesh, making her think of the chitin of the flies. Some had their visors down. Eyeless, their black heads jerked left then right, following anything suspicious. She imagined mandibles dropping down from them, dirty wings stretching out from hard, black backs and pulling them into flight, and felt disgust shake through her. She let the twins' festival brand imagery rise up around her, but that was no help. The sea creatures were charming, but they reminded her of the broken seance, of the depths they'd all fallen into, and of the shark that had been waiting there. She'd only had a fleeting glimpse of it. Her memories baffled her.
There had been sharp teeth and grey skin, but also compound eyes and translucent fins lined across with dirty veins. The shark had something of the fly about it. She wondered what was riding it, and what it would do to Cassiel and the caretaker if it caught them. She imagined it scenting her, then looked nervously up at the sky and increased her pace. She rounded a final corner and saw her old apartment block. There was a gun kiddie on its roof, scanning the street with a pair of binoculars. She closed her eyes and sent out a request to Dit, then leapt through the home she was about to leave and straight into his private space.
"Thank the gods you're safe," he said,
turning away from his bank of televisions.
"Did you get any of my messages? Where have you been?"
"Taking care of business." She shared all that had happened, simplifying events where necessary so she wouldn't reset him.
"I thought I was worrying too much," said Dit ruefully. "I should have been worrying more.
You and Dieter need to sort this out. It's freaking me out." Leela didn't want Dit to see how sad his mention of Dieter made her feel. She touched her pendant to comfort herself, then smiled.
"I'll do my best. How's Lee?"
"See for yourself."
He nodded towards the screens. They showed a woman slumped on the sofa nursing a glass of white wine, zoned out as canned laughter tinkled out of a sitcom. Leela recognized herself.
"I wouldn't be watching that crap," she grumbled.
"It was on. It's an excuse for her to do nothing. But that's not all. Look."
He waved his hand. One of the screens flickered, then zoomed in on the ceiling lamp. Black dots danced around it. A high, thin buzzing sliced out of them.
"They're watching her full time. Holt brought them round at lunchtime."
"They came with him?"
"Crawled out of his shirt."
"He's like the pressure men," said Leela. She imagined a rotten hole in his belly swarming with maggots. "Corrupt."
"That's the word. The smell of him. He tried to cover it with scent, but I amped up the flat sensors.
Decay."
He turned to Leela. "Who are these people? What's wrong with them?" Leela decided it would be too much information. "We're on the case. We'll sort them out."
"What did Holt want?"
"He told Lee about Ambrose. Asked about Dieter. He was checking that the new memories had taken.
There was something about illegal pre-rebirth access of Ambrose's fetch, too."
"Fuck."
She looked at the ghost of herself cradled on the sofa, a buffer against a hostile world. "How did she do?"
"Beautifully," Dit smiled proudly.
"Talked about how she and Dieter weren't close. Looked utterly baffled when Holt asked if she knew who might be fishing for Ambrose's fetch. Swore a bit."
"Sounds like me."
"After he left, she magicked up a glass of wine."
"I approve."
"She's been on the sofa ever since, those flies watching her."
"Good." Leela steeled herself. "That's the way it should be. And we've got to make sure it stays that way. She needs to start going out and about, living it up a bit, like I would, if it wasn't for all this. Can we do that?"
Dieter thought for a moment.
"Well, yes, absolutely. She's got all your memories. All we really need to do is open up her sense of self. Make her more like a real person. More like me, in fact."
"Is that a problem?"
"Not technically, no."
Dit sighed.
"But you should make sure it's a decision you're comfortable with."
"What do you mean?"
"Dieter thought long and hard before making me what I am. I'm limited, but I'm self-aware. I know where I am, what I'm here for. He worried that he was creating a whole new person. But he needed me to be as committed to looking after you as he was."
"I hadn't thought of it like that." Leela put her head in her hands for a moment, then looked up at Dit. "How do you feel about it? About who you are?"
"I am as I was made. And I was made to protect you."
"Which I do."
"So I'm happy. When I'm not worrying myself to death when you don't return messages, that is."
"I'm sorry."
"I mean, I look at the world sometimes. I'd love to be out there, exploring, engaging. I think that comes from Dieter. That need to explore, to understand how things work. But I know my place is here, in this room, keeping you safe.
Leela felt more than a little infuriated by Dieter's big brotherly assumption that, without his permanent presence, she wouldn't be safe from the world. But then, Diet had protected her from the pressure man's attack.
Gods, she muttered to herself, pierced with frustrated loss. You're impossible, Dieter.
She'll have a good life, you know, continued Diet, breaking into her chain of thought. She'll be happy. Of course, she'll mourn Ambrose. Maybe feel a little sad for Dieter. But she'll think they just died. That it was all natural. He smiled. And she'll have a blast spending all your money.
She can't be like you, said Leela. She can't know what she really is. Too much of a security risk.
No, not with everyone watching her so closely. It's better for her, too.
Leela watched Lee shift on the sofa. Her glass of wine refilled itself. Leela smiled in recognition. One of the great joys of being dead was never having to go to the fridge for a top-up.
Will she form my friends? She wondered.
Diet laughed. At the moment, she's more convincing than you are. Their memories have been rewritten to match her version of the world. You would completely freak them out.
Wow, sighed Leela.
Dockland suddenly felt like a very alien place.
Okay, Diet, let's do it. Create a new me. Send her out there to live my life.
Diet breathed out hard.
I'm glad.
He sounded relieved.
It's the safest thing. She'll be fully herself in a couple of hours. But we do have one more problem. With both of you running at pretty much full capacity, I'll get a bit short on storage space.
Leela thought for a moment.
You know, that might be a very easy problem to solve.
Really?
How come? We found a safe house. An old void site. With a full heavy-duty weave server that's barely getting any use.
Diet beamed with pleasure.
Magnificent. At the moment, there's a lot of you sitting on my private storage space. Now I can copy it all across to the safe house server. Once you've moved, I'll delete your new location from my memory.
That's such a relief. I've been worried sick they'll come back and start poking around, find my systems in the walls and just hard rewrite both of us.
Now you're going to be so much safer.
Will I notice at all?
No, it'll be seamless, Diet winked. I'm that fucking good.
A moment's pause, then.
Dieter will be so pleased with me.
Grief tore at Leela's heart.
Chapter 23 Diet told Leela to stay out on the streets until he'd finished transferring her to the safe house weave server. Leela decided to watch the insec agents. They moved in twos, pacing purposefully through the streets. She skipped from one pair to another, an invisible eye tracking power as it wrote itself across the sky. As she mapped their movements, she saw that they were moving to a single plan, together drawing a great search pattern across Docklands. She thanked the gods for the safe house, while at the same time worrying about exactly how long it could remain secure. And then a message came in from Diet.
The transfer is complete.
Oh, and I've added some new code to your core.
Unfamiliar commands appeared in her mind.
You can use these to move yourself anywhere else, whenever you need to. You're as safe as I can make you.
Leela jumped straight back to the safe house. Cassiel and the caretaker were sat on the sofa. Two screens hung in the air in front of them. One showed an empty street and a warehouse frontage, lit by late afternoon spine light. The other showed a writhing tangle of flesh. Sighs, gasps, and groans poured out of it. Sparks pulsed through Cassiel's body, flickering in time with the action. The caretaker, too, was rapt. Leela waited for a few moments, but they didn't notice her. She coughed. The orgiastic noise drowned her out. She tried again.
Guys, what is this?
Cassiel turned to her.
You've led quite the sheltered life. It's pornography.
Very inventive stuff, said the caretaker, his eyes glued to the screen.
God's sake, I know that.
replied Leela.
I always thought Station was deeply uncreative, reflected Cassiel. I was quite wrong. This man's work is remarkable.
Perhaps pornography is the true art form of your culture.
What that guy gets up to, said the caretaker, sounding astonished. I'm glad you're expanding your horizons, but why are you watching it?
The third dude on the right, he's one of the new Diodatus victims, the caretaker told her. This is research.
Well, that's good to know. But we don't have time for this. The hypnotic action continued.
Leela found herself getting sucked in.
Is that even legal? She asked. Who watches this stuff?
They're all of age, replied Cassiel. So yes, quite legal. And the victim has a substantial following. He calls himself the Pornomancer. His subscribers write his consciousness and experience his exploits at first hand.
He promises never to engage with the same partner for more than 5 minutes, chipped in the caretaker. He's had himself rebuilt. He can keep this up for hours.
You've got far too into this, Leela told them. The camera angle shifted as the Pornomancer moved to a new position.
No, that's too much, the caretaker said, wincing. How do you even get turned on by that?
You tell me, said Cassiel. Physical intimacy between minds is very different.
You guys have sex? Blurted out Leela, then embarrassed. I'm sorry, that just came out.
Of course we do. Cassiel peered cautiously at Leela. What did you expect?
Shit, yes, stammered Leela. I just didn't think.
Humans tend not to, Cassiel told her, a little dismissively.
The caretaker wasn't really listening.
He is what he is. He meets a need, he pondered. A job's a job, I guess.
Glad of the change of subject, Leela agreed. The screen panted on in front of them. Once again, Leela felt herself getting sucked in.
Look, this is remarkable stuff, she said. You've clearly checked out the Pornomancer in some detail, which is, great.
But what about the other one?
Jane Kedroff, said Cassiel. A wealthy, reclusive art collector. Not too much known about her. She spends a lot at auctions, buys up anything that's becoming popular, hides it away so hardly anyone can see it.
Someone gasped.
Look, can we turn it off? Asked Leela. It's a bit of a distraction.
The caretaker sighed.
Yeah, fair enough.
He waved a hand and the Pornomancer's small, energetic world vanished, leaving only the screen showing the empty street and warehouse.
That's where she stores her collection. We've been keeping an eye on it.
Not as closely as the Pornomancer, said Leela.
There's not quite as much going on, shrugged the caretaker.
Which is not to say that she's not interesting, continued Cassiel. She activated heavy security a couple of days ago. There's been nothing from her since then.
You think Diodatus has got to her?
Quite possibly. You need to get over there and have a look round, as soon as possible.
Leela disagreed.
I've done enough leaping before I've looked, she said. I want to know as much as possible before I go in somewhere new.
We still don't even know why Diodatus is interested in our four people. Have you found any links between them?
The new ones are just like the first two, replied Cassiel. No evidence they've ever met. Never shown any interest in historical artifacts. No close links with East. But now we have two more people to think about it.
I think we're beginning to see certain thematic links between the way the four of them live their lives. We have a sexual obsessive, a professional eater, a military psychiatrist who specializes in interrogation techniques.
So really torture, chipped in the caretaker.
And a profoundly self-absorbed art collector, concluded Cassiel. There's self-absorbed greed.
commodified intimacy, overconsumption, and an entirely instrumental view of other people.
Oof, that's pretty negative.
It's basically how we in the totality view station society, said Cassiel in a matter-of-fact way. Your motivations in miniature.
Not all of us, Leela shot back.
She thought of Dieter. He'd always been so positive, so generous. It seemed so wrong that he should be involved in something like this. She thought of Diodatus changing him. Fear and loss shot through her.
The caretaker interrupted them.
Guys, there's something you should see.
He pointed at the screen.
A familiar figure stood at the entrance to the warehouse, talking into an intercom. It was Holt.
As I said, you should get over there as soon as possible, Cassiel told Leela.
Okay, agreed Leela reluctantly. That little shit turning up does change things.
And we should observe, Cassiel told her.
Can we watch through you?
Leela wasn't quite sure how she felt about opening up her sense feed to two relative strangers, but there was no time to waste.
Okay, she said again as she readied herself to jump. The flat vanished, leaving Leela hanging in the darkness that existed between specific locations. The ghost cloak queried her, asking permission to burrow into Kedroff's warehouse. It worked quickly. There was a flash of light as her sensorium meshed with the warehouse's internal weave systems. Then reality leapt into being again. Leela found herself standing in the middle of a long, low-ceilinged room. A series of vast canvases hung down from the roof. Bright colors swirled across them, thick oil impastos bulging luridly out in dense hypnotic patterns. There was something familiar about their style. She noticed a signature at the bottom left of one of them. Femi, dripped on with oozing black paint. Memories flashed into her mind. She'd been valuing the single most expensive home she'd ever been in and seen a similar painting hanging on the wall.
Lovely work, the vendor commented.
One of our true masters.
He stopped in front of the painting, sighing.
Very few of them around. Femi died young. One show, that was it, and most of it was snapped up by a private collector, very private collector. I lease virtual replicas of this painting to several other collectors, but she won't even do that.
He went to move away from the picture, then stopped again and said,
Selfish, but at least it keeps the value of mine up.
Hi, Leela, said the caretaker. Just letting you know we're on board.
Let's get going, ordered Cassiel.
Leela drifted through paintings and sculptures. She heard soft voices and approached them cautiously. She knew she was safe, but it was impossible not to worry that the ghost cloak had been compromised. She imagined flies settling on her, tearing at her past, rewriting it to suit Diodatus.
Quicker, grumbled Cassiel.
I don't want to take any risks.
It took her a minute or so to reach the point where she could see who was talking. She recognized one voice as Holt's. She nerved herself, then peered out from behind a painting. There was a long, low leather sofa running down the edge of a small office space, made up of a desk, a chair, and a small pile of tall, wide parcels. Holt sat on the sofa, next to a fashionably dressed young man.
That's right,
he told Holt.
We thought it was just a sculpture. Appeared in the post, no idea who sent it. A little broken triangle, so evocative. Jane, Miss Kedroff, took it into her private rooms. And then I was away for a couple of days. She didn't come out this morning, but that's not unusual. But then it was the afternoon, and she wasn't answering when I knocked on the door, and well...
He put his head in his hands. Holt watched him. A cold, disinterested look on his face.
We'll find whoever did this, he replied. We've seen several cases like this recently. We're close to a breakthrough.
His voice was emotionless. He stood up.
I'd like to take another look at the body.
The personal assistant waved his hand.
Please don't disturb me. You might find some of my investigations
distasteful.
Leela followed him to Kedrov's quarters. She lay in her bedroom, a still shape beneath a stained sheet.
Dead, remarked Cassiel.
Each wall was a canvas, somber, soothing colours drifting across them in soft, meaningless patterns. Kedrov's bed was raised up on a plinth, its linens tinted to match the wall's palette. Two broken weave sprites followed each other around the room, bouncing off walls, a bedside lamp, zinging past Holt and making him duck.
Wake up, they chanted. Wake up! Rise and shine!
Each was a little middle-aged man dressed in a little grey suit. Their little wings whirred with a high, desperate whine. Both had their arms stretched out in front of them, and their eyes tight shut. Their small minds were broken. Holt put out a fist and opened it, palm up. Now that he was on his own, his movements were quicker, more nervous. A fly leapt into the air. It brushed first against one of the sprites, then the other. There was a moment's pause. Then they screamed as one and vanished. Holt went over to the bed and pulled the sheets off the body.
Guards, he said.
Leela gasped, memories of Dieter's death flashing into her mind. Kedrov's corpse had the same desiccated look to it. Dried skin, stretched like varnished tissue paper over bones that had a balsa wood flimsiness to them. An ear had slipped down the side of her head. Her nose had partially collapsed. There was an artifact, half sunk into her chest, between the dried, collapsed mounds that had been her breasts.
Is that how your brother died? Asked the caretaker.
Pretty much,
gulped Leela. Except the thing that killed him was square.
Fascinating, breathed Cassiel.
The artifact that had broken Kedrov was an equilateral triangle, its point facing down towards her groin. A sticky brown residue spilled out of it across the corpse's belly. Holt pulled the sheet off the bed. Leela inspected the rest of Kedrov's body. One hand had dissolved, soaking the sheets with black liquid. A dark vacancy had eaten away most of a knee. Bone gleamed whitely out.
Selective dissolution, commented Cassiel. Curious.
Holt leant over and placed a hand on the artifact. First one fly, then another, then a third and fourth and fifth climbed out from beneath his cuff, moving down his hand with stop-motion jerkiness. They scuttled over to the triangle and vanished into it. Then Holt took his hand off the corpse's chest and turned his attention to its face. He pulled the mouth open as far as it could go. The skin where Kedrov's lips met split. He ran his hand through his hair and sighed deeply. Then he bent over, put his mouth to hers, and exhaled. Kedrov's chest shifted a little. Then he breathed into her, breathing for her for a minute or so. At last, there was a choking cough from the triangle, as if a small organic machine had woken. Holt stood back up, a satisfied look on his face. A moment, then the corpse gasped and shook. Air shuddered in and out of its lungs as it began to breathe again. A fly appeared at its mouth, dark limbs scratching against paper-white flesh like inkless nibs, then vanished back into her. Kedrov's labored, reborn wheeze filled the room.
Fuck, breathed Leela.
Heavy, replied the caretaker.
Kedrov sat up, her body moving in a rigid, unnatural way, as if its muscles were relearning their functions from scratch, and turned her head towards her reviver. He put his hand on her shoulder.
Are you ready?
He asked.
Yes,
she replied. Her voice was a small, soft buzz. Leela knew that her throat was furred with wires, but found herself imagining flies climbing into a broken voice box, their transparent wings beating words from the air.
Ready.
The word was a ghost of itself.
Good.
Holt turned away from her, opening his shirt as he did so, a pained look on his face.
Leela caught a glimpse of a black maw just beneath his ribcage, full of crawling darkness. Flies leapt out of him, full stop scrawled on the air. They buzzed up and out, moving in lazy circles and loops, up and down, forward and back. One of her internal warnings pinged. The room's weave systems were opening a doorway to a virtual location. Suddenly, the flies were drawing black lines on the air. They flew forwards and back, up and down, pulling a dark, rectangular portal into being.
"I can query the fly swarm," Cassiel said. "See if they can tell me where it leads back to. But I need to use you as a bridge to reach them. Run part of my mind in yours."
It was an uncomfortable, intimate suggestion.
"Is there any other way?" asked Leela.
"Running a compatibility check now," said Cassiel, ignoring her.
"So that's a no," Leela grumbled. "You're worse than my brother."
She returned her attention to the room. Something had appeared next to Kedroff. It hung in the air next to her, a dense, gray teardrop carved from a cloud, its tip touching the ceiling and its base touching the floor. It represented a lifetime's worth of data. Leela thought of Dieter's similarly shaped weave self and touched the pendant at her neck. Kedroff's head turned to gaze up at the cloud, flesh regarding the soul that had left it.
"This must be what they did to Dieter," said Cassiel.
The caretaker shushed her. "She doesn't want to hear that."
Leela imagined Holt coming to her brother in the cold depths of a mortuary and pulling his weave self from him. She pushed the thought from her mind. Holt smiled weakly.
"Very good," he said.
He turned back to the rectangle and waved at it. It pulsed out a burst of white light, and Leela had to look away. When she looked back, it had become a white arch framing a doorway. And through the doorway was a space she recognized. Two couches lay head to head in the center of a round room. There was a desk pushed up against the wall, papers scattered across it. Windows showed a marble landscape shining under a pale moon. Next to the complexity of station, of her own life, its simplicity was oddly appealing. It was Dieter's workshop in the Shining City. And then her brother appeared in the doorway and stepped through it. Chapter 24. Leela gaped. For a moment, she wanted to let the cloak drop away and reveal herself to Dieter. But Holt would see her too. She'd lose all anonymity.
"Be cool, Leela. Let's see what he's up to."
"We're fully compatible," hissed Cassiel. "Just need you to give me the right permissions." Leela barely heard them. She stared at Dieter. He was a soft blur, shifting forwards and backwards between different versions of himself. But he was less defined than he had been, less rooted in any single identity. With fewer and fewer coherent memory chains to support it, his core self was dissolving. The thought of that terrified her. She wondered how much time she had left before the damage became permanent, before it would be impossible to assemble even an incomplete fetch from his weave self.
"Please, Leela," said Cassiel.
Without really thinking, Leela granted permission. She felt an alien presence in her mind as Cassiel unpacked part of herself into it.
"Thank you," sighed the mind. "This'll just take a few seconds."
Leela brought her attention back to the room. Holt and Dieter were inspecting the weave self. Myriad clusters of tiny lights flickered within it.
"All's good," Dieter said. "Kedroff's weave self is intact. I can use it."
"He's working for them, all right," said the caretaker.
"We told him not to trust Diodatus," replied Leela. "I think we were getting through to him."
All that must have been deleted. She hoped desperately that he hadn't lost too much else.
"We never had a problem gathering weave selves," replied Holt. "Just putting them to work. Please don't screw it up."
"Like your minds did with the first two," replied Dieter, absent-mindedly, reaching into the weave self with one hand.
Memories of his tinkering pierced Leela.
he was still so much himself, despite his slow dissolution.
"You're not taking this seriously," complained Holt.
"Oh, I'm taking it very seriously."
Leela recognized Dieter's tone of voice. He was deep in some intellectual problem, barely even registering Holt's presence.
"Setting up the bridge," muttered Cassiel.
"Imagine your sister were here," Holt told Dieter.
Leela froze. For a moment, she was afraid that Holt had sensed her. But the ghost cloak was still up.
"Would she want you all spaced out?"
Dieter's attention snapped back into the moment.
"I am not spaced out," he said. "I'm working fucking hard, like I told dear Datus I would. Don't you bring Leela into this."
Holt put his hands up.
I'm sorry," he said. "I just want to make sure we get it right."
"You people were part of the problem." Kedroff's weave self was forgotten.
"Fucking insect, not taking any of it seriously. Do you know what fetch hatred can do to someone?"
Dieter's voice was full of grief and anger. Leela wanted to reach out to him, but she was trapped inside the ghost cloak. If she revealed herself, Holt's flies would have her.
"Sticks and stones," one of your lot told us. "Sticks and fucking stones, 2 weeks before the end." "Dieter, I'm truly sorry," Holt told him. "If you'd come to me, I'd have done all I could."
"Yeah, well, it's a bit late for that now, isn't it?" Dieter looked around the room.
"And here we are, back on station. Oh, I hate this place."
There was a bitterness to him that was entirely new.
"Feels like a prison."
Diodatus must have changed him again.
"Let's just get out of here."
Dieter reached back into Kedroff's weave self and closed his eyes for a moment.
"It's all ready to go down to the workshop. How's the pornomancer coming along? Once we've got him too, we can replace those two poor sods your idiot screwed up and do the job properly."
"And I'm in you," muttered Cassiel, querying the swarm, asking them where the portal leads.
"Let's see," said Holt, looking profoundly relieved that Dieter's mind was back on their task.
He waved his hand towards the portal. It shimmered, and the shining city vanished.
"Failed," said Cassiel. "Got some basic info. The shining city is a heavily virtual environment. Didn't get a location."
"You done?" Holt shouted through the portal.
It took Leela a moment to pass the scene before her. The portal now gave on to a dingy little windowless room. There was a kitchenette in one corner. A battered sofa was littered with sex toys. Erotic images hung in the air. Naked sprites writhed together on a small coffee table. There was a full sensory stimulation deck in one corner of the room. A short, naked man was strapped into it. He was very skinny. He'd been terribly tortured. One arm had been cut off at the elbow. There were bloodied sockets that had once housed eyes. An upside-down triangle was buried in his belly. The skin around it was ragged. It looked like it had been forced in. A pool of thickening blood and ravaged hunks of flesh lay beneath him. And there was one other figure in the room. A fallen mind. Its blistered skin was covered in blood. It held a scalpel in one hand and a hammer in the other.
"Oh,"
gasped Cassiel.
"No."
There was despair in her voice.
"What's it been forced to do? What's it done?"
Leela gagged.
"I'm so sorry," said the caretaker.
Another grey teardrop hung just next to the mind.
"He refused our offer,"
the mind told Holt and Dieter.
"I persuaded him to accept it."
Its laugh was a breathy wheeze. "Did you really have to go that far?" asked Dieter. He sounded disgusted.
"Perhaps not," replied the mind. "If more time had been made available. But Diodatus had set us a very specific deadline."
"This Diodatus is a disease," said Cassiel, her voice cold with rage. "He must be purged. If you decloak, Leela, I can reach through you and..."
"Don't tempt me," said Leela, imagining her skull face tearing into Holt and the fallen mind.
"Hey, guys," soothed the caretaker.
This is bad, but let's not win the battle and lose the war.
Well, you can send his weave self down to my workshop yourself, Dieter told the mind. I'm fucked if I'm coming into your charnel house.
You've left the meat behind, Fennec, replied the mind. Why do you object to this?
Dieter turned away.
We shouldn't have used those bastards. Too brutal.
A moment's pause, then.
We're surgeons, not butchers.
I don't want to see him, Holt. Link us back to my workshop and we'll move Kedroff's weave self. Holt looked broken.
We'd have had to do the same to her if she hadn't accepted.
He waved a hand at the portal and it shifted back.
But this will soon be over, he said,
as if he was trying to convince himself. Dieter's workshop shone out of the portal, its silent peace contrasting with the shambles the mind had presided over.
You know, sometimes I just want to shut the door on it all, said Dieter, sounding deeply weary.
Holt looked panicked.
Think about your sister. Don't you want revenge? Oh, I want Diodatus to break the Pantheon, replied Dieter, and I want him to write the fetch-hating world they created out of history.
He touched Kedroff's weave self and it drifted towards the portal.
I'll build in the army he needs to do it. You don't need to worry about that.
Leela felt so much empathy with his rage, because that was how she felt about Diodatus. She would delete him from existence if she could. Cassiel spoke.
I've sent another location query to Holt's swarm, she said, forcing neutrality into her tone. About to get a reply.
She obviously had to work hard to control herself. Kedroff's corpse stared dumbly out. A statue built from skin and bone. Her weave self vanished into Dieter's workshop.
Location coming through? Confirmed.
Dieter stopped in the portal and turned back.
But I still hate seeing broken people, Holt.
His voice was grim.
I know there's no choice. I know it's for the greater good. But I saw Leela break and choose true death. I came home to an empty flat and a suicide note. That was enough for me.
Leela gasped. Agony shattered through her. If he'd stayed for an instant longer, she would have dropped her invisibility and rushed to take him back, to reassure him that she still lived, regardless of the consequences. The portal vanished before she could move.
Chapter 25
Leela jumped back to the safe house, shocked to the core. Not only did Dieter think she'd been forced into a true death, he was going to rewrite Station's past by way of revenge. The first thing she said was, Where is he?
The portal led back to the wart, said Cassiel. That's where we'll find the Shining City. It's probably an entirely virtual environment. It'll be sitting in a dedicated weave server somewhere in there.
The wart? Asked the caretaker. What's that?
Oldest part of Station, explained Leela. It's the asteroid that holds Docklands and Homelands together. Mostly just wasteland and ancient ruins, the kind of place Dieter loves. We have to get him back.
And stop Diodatus, said Cassiel. We need to get in there.
The frustrated anger in her voice mirrored Leela's emotions.
Totally, said the caretaker. The Shining City looked familiar. Might trigger some memories.
It was the first time Leela had heard anything approaching sadness in his voice.
It's not a good place for fetches, said Leela. There's not much weave coverage in there. I'd need to find a way of piggybacking on you two to manifest in most of it. I can't go there on my own.
And if we leave the flat, then the Rose agents will find us almost straight away.
Cassiel's voice was bitter.
We could explore it, but we can't leave this flat. You can leave the flat, but you can't explore it.
A thought struck Leela.
Don't be so sure of that, she said, remembering the insect agents she'd watched. The Roses people are following a specific search pattern. I mapped some of it. If we can understand it, then we'll know where they're going to be, when, and we can avoid them.
Well, that gets us moving, said Cassiel thoughtfully.
I can mask the caretaker and me again. If the Fetch Council is right, we'd have a little time before the Rose's camera spotted us, she sighed. But what then?
You're the infiltration expert, Leela told her, tossing over memories of her search pattern observations. That's your problem. And while you're solving it, I'm going to find Cormac Redonda. Make him talk to me.
We need to know as much as we can about what we're heading into, and he's the only expert we've got.
I hope he's willing to talk to you, said Cassiel.
Leela thought of her poor lost brother, of the damage he could help Diodatus do.
Oh, he will. I'll make damn sure of that.
The streets flickered by, filled with evening bustle. The gods looked down, apparently pleased with the world they controlled. They had always seemed complacent. Now Leela felt that they were completely out of touch. She hurried to the Flurrytown restaurant where Redonda had looped out. It was on a little broken street, a clutter of abandoned office blocks and emptied shops. A gun kiddie crew had scrawled graffiti across their broken fronts. Leela imagined how lively this lost little street must once have been. The estate agent in her rose up, suggesting ways of selling it. Ripe for regeneration, up and coming, and similar phrases drifted through her mind. As she reached the restaurant, Leela thought about how East's entertainment areas were always evolving. The god liked to flatter each new generation by creating novelty, making those who partied in her realms feel that they occupied a world that was freshly made for them and them alone. Then the masses would move on, and there would be small local collapses, leaving empty streets like this. But they wouldn't stay empty for long. Soon the rebellious pioneers would come, reworking empty space on their own terms. Subversive creativity would flourish. East would bless it with low rents. The old would marvel at East's ability to regenerate, and the young would flock to these fresh new entertainments. A new standard would be set. East would win the gratitude of a new generation of creators and, through them, consumers. And so all would adore her, and her power would flow on.
It's a racket, thought Leela.
She remembered East in her room, trying to force stardom on her. She thought of Dieter, so totally